Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
From Gimlet Media, this is The Nod. I'm Eric Eddings. So I guess I'd like to start by just welcoming to the studio, friend of The Nod, Ashley Ford.
Thank Welcome. You so much.
You're also a writer and a fellow podcaster, all-around great person, and a Gimlet host.
I am.
You got a long list.
I do, but it's only because I have ADHD and can't do one thing at a time.
And I mentioned this particular thing because it is relevant. Mm-hmm. You are getting married soon, right?
I am getting married in September.
In September?
Yes.
Nice. So I invited you here to the studio today because I've been thinking a lot about traditions and rituals and how they become ours, like how they become Black.
Mm-hmm.
And one event that's like filled with traditions are Black weddings.
Mm.
There's the electric slide. Some folks pour libations out for the people who've passed on. But one of the best known traditions is jumping the broom.
Right.
So what do you know about it?
I knew that it was something that my family didn't do. One of the things that I read was that the broom would be made for the couple and that every broom would be made differently. And this, and I read about it sort of like, at least the first time it was sort of like written about or talked about or something was during the slave era in America.
Mm-hmm.
And the broom would be constructed by, I believe, the bride's family mm-hmm. and the women who were part of the bride's family. And then they would jump over the broom, and then the broom would be kept in the house of the new couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe above the door or next to the door or something like that was supposed to be important.
Yes, you are spot on. And at this point, like when somebody says, we're going to jump the broom, I mean, that just means they're getting married. Like there's even a movie named after it. It's literally called Jumping the Broom.
Yes.
Your smile tells me that you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. If there's a movie with Angela Bassett in it, I've seen it.
Okay, well, that's a good list.
Yeah,
in general.
It really
it's a good rule to go by. So for those of you who haven't seen it, the movie came out in 2011. It's an excellent rom-com about two Black families, one rich, one working class.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute, very messy.
Mm-hmm.
The cast is epic. Angela Bassett, Paula Patton, Loretta Devine, whole lot more. Anyway, I'm going to play you a scene. So the two families are at the rehearsal dinner, and they start to talk about what traditions they're going to do at the wedding.
To the left, to the right,
to the right.
Actually, Jason and I told the DJ not to encourage the slide, you know, so I don't want you to look forward to that.
What, y'all don't do the electric slide? What y'all do, the river dance or something? What's happening?
No, Willie Earl, it's just so cliche, you know? They do it at the end of every Black wedding, and we just...
Well, it figures that your kind would think that way.
Mom, here we go.
You're kind.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that the electric slide was a cultural necessity.
Well, the electric slide at a Black wedding is just like jumping the broom.
Yeah, right.
You're going to jump the broom.
No.
What? Jason, enough is enough. You've got to jump the broom.
Mom, Mrs. Taylor, just... Jason and I decided we wanted everything to be simple, elegant. Ow!
Modern.
Would a Jewish couple get married without breaking the glass?
We're not Jewish.
I didn't say you were Jewish. The slaves were not allowed to marry. Jumping the broom was the only way that they could show their union. Now, we have done that in this family for years. It is a tradition. It's gone on for generations. And as you say, it is a cultural necessity.
So this whole rehearsal dinner almost fell apart because this couple said they weren't jumping the broom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's clear it's this really emotionally charged choice. And I'm curious, like, you mentioned your family doesn't jump the broom.
They don't.
Do you know if there's a reason why?
The reason that was given to me when I asked my grandma about why we don't jump the broom and why none of my aunts had jumped the broom. My grandma has five daughters. None of them jumped the broom. And they've all been married at least once. She said that it was something that was usually passed down, and specifically that the broom was passed down from person to person in her family. And that her mother had never handed her down a broom, had never talked to her about the broom, had never, like, none of that had ever happened. And I think one of the things that that made me realize really quickly is that's how quickly a tradition can die. My family didn't keep up with a lot of cultural traditions or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, we blackity-black, you know, like, yeah. There's a lot of stuff, you know, shared culture that I have with every other, you know, black person that I meet for the most part.
The slide is still going to happen.
The slide is still going to happen. Okay, this is still happening. But there are things like, you know, jumping the broom, or you even hear, you know how black people always talk about, like, eating black eyed peas the day after New Year's?
Yeah.
Like, that, those sort of things that were just, like, very black, my family did not do those at all, like, ever. And so it's another one of those things that I feel like I missed out on as a cultural tradition.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that, like, I didn't jump the broom, and my family doesn't really either, which I think is actually a part of why I'm so interested in how other people decide, like, whether or not it's right for them. And you're getting married soon.
I am.
Yes. And I've been seeing you've been writing about it, you've been tweeting about it, guiding everyone along through this process. And you brought in someone to help us talk about your wedding today.
I did.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I am Kelly Glenn Stacy, writer, poet, homemaker, and prospective husband to Ashley C. Ford.
That was it. I mean, did you practice that? That was
no.
Like, it just flows. Just flows like this.
It just flows.
So I'm curious, like, Kelly, for you, like, what traditions, like, does your family have any wedding traditions that they do practice?
Not really. My parents were married in their backyard. For like $300, I think.
Can you say more about your background? Can I like, this is a question I actually never, like, for real got to ask a white person. But like, what, like, so what type of white are you exactly?
Okay. So I'm not like New England waspy old money white.
Okay.
My mom, grandmother came over and we're like Lithuanian German, immigrated like right around 1900. And then my dad's side of the family is, they're all from Kentucky.
Gotcha. Okay. I promise that's relevant.
Well, did that answer the question?
That answers the question perfectly. You were great. So you guys are in the midst of wedding planning. Like, I'm sure you're trying to decide a million things.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought you here today not to convince you that you should jump the broom, but I do want to give you all, and I mean all, the information you might need to decide if it's right for you.
Yeah.
So we're going deep on jumping the broom. And let me just prepare you. We're going to go to some places that you might not expect.
Oh.
I hope you're ready for that.
Yeah, I think we're all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So to do this, I reached out to someone who's an expert on the topic. His first name is Tyler. Can you pronounce your last name for me?
Yeah, Perry.
It is Perry. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry for this. But like, how often do you get Tyler Perry jokes?
Oh, well, it's pretty often. I think it might be dying out a little bit now, especially since I moved to California. But when I was teaching in South Carolina, it was pretty much around the clock.
Gotcha.
And, you know, teaching African-American history and African-American studies, it certainly was,
yeah,
the irony wasn't lost on people.
It's pretty perfect. So we're not talking about actor and comedian Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the professor of African American studies at Cal State Fullerton, Tyler Perry. Okay? And he actually jumped the broom with his wife. She's African-American. He's white. And before their wedding, the minister asked him to do some research about jumping the broom.
I was essentially accumulating this information, which for the minister was just way too much. So I presented him with this big report paper, and he said, I'm thinking more along the lines of five sentences.
So the minister let Tyler know he was doing way too much. But Tyler was so surprised by what he found in his research that he chose the topic for his dissertation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So one of the first big surprises that he discovered is that after the Civil War, like, jumping the broom as a tradition almost died out completely.
Really?
Yes. Because now, like, Black folks could go to a church or the courthouse to get married. So the only people who kept practicing the tradition lived in really remote areas.
We've become accustomed to the idea that you can Google or call a minister and they're ready to marry you at any point. Or, you know, I'm from Las Vegas. You can simply go to one of the white wedding chapels downtown and just get married. But if you live in, say, you know, rural Kentucky in 1867, you might not see a minister for 2 to 3 months until they're passing through.
He also said that as the Great Migration kicked off, there were fewer and fewer Black people in rural areas.
Right.
And he told me the other reason the practice almost died out was shame.
Former slaves will actually deny that it ever happened because for them, they are trying to leave slavery behind. Mm-hmm. There were some that would simply say, we never jumped a broom. That never happened.
Yeah. You know,
that's a lie that somebody told you. So there was, to some degree, an act of suppression of the custom because it was a symbol of oppression for them. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a source of embarrassment.
Wow. It makes me a little sad just because I think the things that mean something to us when we don't have other options are still ours. Mm. And I think that the choice to carry those or not to carry those should never be rooted in shame or embarrassment, I guess.
Yeah. So like wrestling with all these feelings and like, you know, people thinking about jumping the broom in that way caused it to really just like fall out of favor. Like, by like the 40s and the 50s, it was not in or like the thing to do. But in the 70s, it was a big, big revival when people started like practicing again.
Hmm.
And the thing that brought it back into fashion was a special TV miniseries.
It's Roots, right?
Ding, ding, ding.
All right.
So let's watch the very scene that brought Jumping the Broom back to life.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Kunta Kinte is about to marry his love interest, Belle, and all the slaves on the plantation have gathered to watch as this woman circles them with the broom and then places it at their feet.
Y'all sure y'all want to get married?
I does. I does.
Then in the eyes of Jesus, jump over the broom into the land of matrimony.
That, like, simple scene is, like, really what kind of blows it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, because it's one of the few, like, just straight joyful scenes in the series. Like, a lot of it is
harrowing.
Yeah, you know? And I think, like, seeing people so happy to do it as well makes me feel like, oh, maybe this is a reason why, like, it could have come back.
Absolutely. They're in their finest, you know what I mean? Like, she has flowers in her hair. Like, it's celebratory.
Yeah. So, like, following Roots, it kind of, like, you know, it kind of, like, blew up, came back into the public consciousness. But a few decades later, there was another really, really huge boost in popularity. Are there any guesses as to what time period this might have occurred in?
I want to say the 90s just because I feel like the 90s, especially early 90s to mid 90s, was such like this. I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. Like, it's just super Black. Like, that is a really super Black time. That's like Spike Lee time. That's like, that's Salt and Pepper time. That's hip hop time. Like, that's like, it's this time that I remember of it being like being proud to be Black in a very present way.
Yes. In the 90s, there was this massive wave of Afrocentric pride, and it was just visible everywhere, including weddings. And Jumping the Broom was a big part of that.
Mm.
One of the things that made it so popular was this one book that was released called Jumping the Broom.
Really?
It's called Jumping the Broom, an African-American Wedding Planner. And it was released in 1993. And it was like one of the first books to really popularize like Afrocentric weddings. And actually, I have a copy of the book right here.
What?
So on the front, you see this bride and groom, and they're just looking like a 90s cover of Jet Magazine.
Sis. This little headpiece, this hat, is giving me life. The hat, like, how do I always called these when I was growing up, I called them Queen Latifah hats.
Pre-living single Queen Latifah.
Yes. That, you know, the who you calling a bitch, yeah. Queen Latifah.
She was so fly, right? So I actually spoke to the author of this book. Her name is Harriet Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Today, she's a lifestyle writer and an etiquette coach. But back in the 90s, she was the fashion editor of Essence Mag. And she would do a lot of, like, features on, like, weddings. And she was covering this massive rise in Afrocentric weddings.
So if you walk into a church, you probably smell incense. The flowers lining the aisle are not white. They're colorful and tropical and wrapped in raffia. There is a chalice on the altar, which is what you will use to offer libation to the ancestors.
The jumping the broom part will happen at the end of the ceremony, usually to the beat of an African drum.
The drum would beat slowly and quietly at first, but build as the officiant is telling the story of our ancestors and how creative they were and how they figured out how they could honor each other at this important juncture in their lives. And when the drums reach a crescendo, that's when the couple jumps over the broom.
This makes me feel like everybody, it wasn't just this book, but everybody was, you know, a little bit coming to America-ing it.
I mean, a bit, yeah. Like, it seemed like everyone was looking for ways to reclaim or show off their connection to Africa. And, like, rituals like jumping the broom were seen as super authentic ways of doing that.
Mm.
But here's the thing. When I asked Tyler to tell me more about the actual West African history of the tradition, he said they never jumped the broom.
What?
I wrote in my dissertation an entire chapter on West African marital practices. And, you know, I was looking for it. I said, if there's any evidence that this happened in Western Africa, I'm going to find it because I'm going to scour every single primary source that I can find that was written about pre-colonial Western Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't there.
So there are no roots of this that actually come from African tradition.
Yeah, this is a question I get quite often. And I think it's probably one of the more disappointing answers that I tend to give to people, to be honest.
So this tradition, so closely associated with Black weddings, so often linked back to our roots in West Africa, actually has no roots there at all. So where does it come from? After the break, Tyler Perry blows my mind.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Ray-Ban, and Canon. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals during Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th. The cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for Adidas and Fenty. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Welcome back. So, I have a hunch, but I'm curious, like, will you two be jumping the broom at your wedding at this moment?
No.
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 Okay. Well, I'm glad you both said no, because there was a hesitation. I was like, well, is it different?
He was I know that, and he was probably looking at me like...
Oh, I was letting you lead.
He was letting me lead. Like, it feels not right for you and I to jump the broom, because it feels like a tradition that was never meant for our union.
I'm white, so then put myself into that space would be a weird appropriation. So
yeah, I mean, I think that my feelings on it today would be that I would only jump the broom with another Black person.
Gotcha. And that makes sense, right? Like, usually when you hear people talking about jumping the broom, they're only talking about Black folks. And the tradition is so closely tied to Black people.
Right.
But according to Tyler Perry, some of the first people to do it were Welsh.
This is a Celtic custom also practiced throughout the British Isles that was also practiced by North American slaves and other communities. So it represents this Atlantic dimension of migration and cultural exchange.
So this is actually why I asked you about your ancestry, Kelly, because it turns out jumping the broom has its origins not in West Africa, but in the British Isles.
Which is something. I'm Kelly Glenn Stacey. I'm Irish, Scottish, and English, not Welsh.
So we jumped all the way around.
Yeah.
Not Welsh.
But yeah, it dates back to like the 18th centuries.
Wow.
Yeah, before it ever got to the Americas. I'm curious, like,
wow.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, oh my gosh. Like, I feel like every time you look back, any sort of tradition that you have that you think is, like, whatever you think it is, just, it's not that, ever. Christmas isn't real. Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. Like all of these things, you know, and I mean, I know, shut up, Cal. He's looking at me like, did you just figure that out, babe?
No, it's just, you seem like you're going on a huge rant here.
I don't feel like it's a rant, it's just like.
Nothing is real.
I don't know, like, it's weird because on the one hand, it's like, yeah, those are the true origins of it. On the other hand, I'm like, it still has the Black slave history, you know what I mean? At least in America. And there are a lot of things that I think come from different places. And it's like, but now it does complicate it a little bit in my head because it's like, I don't know, maybe now jumping the broom sounds less racist, but we can't be like people at our wedding, everybody at our wedding is going to know that this is from Wales and
yeah,
not from like plantations in Louisiana. So it still is kind of like.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Like with the context we had, like this is. Expanded the context, but I mean.
But jumping the broom in Wales in 1780 and jumping the broom in America in 1830 between Black slaves are still two different things.
It's still two different things.
That is a great point. And it makes you think about, like, why were they jumping the broom in the first place? You know,
yeah,
like, why were people in the British Isles picking up broomsticks and just jumping over them?
Right.
Well, surprisingly, it was for a pretty similar reason that we jumped the broom.
so many different communities picked it up because it was practical, especially if you were from a oppressed, marginalized, or ostracized community. Jumping the broom provides ceremony in the face of oppressive circumstances in which you either can't get married or you're legally banned from getting married.
So Tyler also found evidence that, like, white people who were descendants of people from the British Isles, they would jump the broom in rural areas like Appalachia. I know somebody's fam is from Kentucky.
They sure are.
From the holler, no less.
From the holler.
And so, like, that's a ritual that they would even practice there. And so Tyler has a few theories about how the tradition got from these British immigrants to American slave communities.
There is a pretty strong evidence that slave owners introduced the custom into the plantation, and then the enslaved, you know, acquired it and reinvented it and reimagined it for themselves. But there's also some instances in which poor whites, who also jumped the broom in North America, initiated activities of cultural exchange with the enslaved.
I'm sitting here being kind of astounded.
Me too.
By that. I didn't know any of that. It's more information, but it just made it more complicated. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I can even think, you know, for myself, like, a part of me was kind of excited about it because it seemed like a thing that maybe had been passed down from West Africa.
Right.
But if it's not, then is it really ours in the way we thought? Well, Tyler says that maybe origin and ownership don't have to be the same thing.
I mean, even if you look at food culture, dancing, music, all of that is, at least from the African American experience, a product of how Africa met Europe in North America. This is one of those really cool processes of creative adaptation by an oppressed group of people. And for me, I think it's just as unique as other genres. So you talk about the development of the blues, this kind of this way of surviving the oppression of Jim Crow and whatnot. I think that there's a richness to understanding the experience of slavery and how it develops a culture of a people predicated upon survival and advancing in many respects. So if you couldn't escape slavery, you at least created something that allowed you to survive it psychologically.
Ashley, I can see that you're kind of like wrestling with something. Did that bring something up for you?
It makes me... it actually just makes me feel a little bit more lost. I think that that's just because I'm pretty constantly thinking about how much of my history is lost to time because I'm a woman, because I'm Black, because I'm queer. And this is one of those times when I feel like, no, I want a better answer. Like, I want, and I do, but I don't know what the better answer is. Like, there is no better answer because this is what happened. Yeah. Like, that's the answer. And I think that what I'm trying to figure out now is, even in this moment, how do I get to feel about that?
How about you, babe?
So, thinking about it, I'm going to say I'm still a no on jumping the broom at our wedding because I think that no matter the origin of it, through our perspective of history, it is completely inseparable from Black identity. And for me to participate in it would be performative and it would be appropriative. I think that there are a lot of traditions and a lot of festivals that belong to one people who came from somewhere completely different. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it takes away from it being a Black tradition at all.
Yeah. I think for me, the reason why it's kind of harder to think about is because it makes me think about how Blackness, and especially American Blackness, is irreparably complicated. And so many of us are, you know, mixed up with so many different cultures. And it's also just like that Black is such an expansive, beautiful thing. And I feel a little challenged to sort of be to have more recognition of that beautiful expanse of blackness and not think about things in terms of purity, which I think I tend to do.
I mean, clearly I made the same mistake. It was, we were talking. So we've went on a bit of a journey.
This, oh my gosh, yeah. We're emotionally exhausted.
Thank you so much for coming out and let me get all in your business.
Happy.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I'm really excited to hear more about the wedding. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
And now you can move on to the most controversial thing at your wedding, your playlist.
You know, Kelly, I'm like, okay, we can play Billy Idol, but if we do, the only people on the dance floor are going to look like you.
I mean, and they're going to look like me and come from our friends from New York.
Yeah, maybe also.
Now,
some
if
of our
we want to get the Stacys out there, we got to put on Molly Hatchet.
Yeah.
We got to be flirting with disaster.
Or something like
yeah.
that.
Maybe what you do is right after Billy Idol, that's when you make the hard segue into the slide. So you
yes.
have everybody else already out on the dance floor.
Dancing with myself, electric slide.
Yes.
And then everybody else comes out and then you got everybody on the
there
floor.
There we yep. go.
The Nod is produced by me, Eric Gettings, with Brittany Luce, Kay Parkinson Morgan, and Emmanuel Berry, with production assistance from Wallace Mack. Our senior producer is Sarah Abdurrahman. We are edited by Sarah Saracen and Annie Rose Strasser. Engineering from Cedric Wilson. Fact-checking by Max Gibson. Special thanks to Angelina Mosier. Our theme music is by Khalid B. Additional music in the show by Khalid B and Bobby Lord. And one final note, if you're a fan of The Nod, don't be selfish. Tell a friend. Pull out their phone, download your favorite episode, talk about it after. It's Black History Month, y'all. Let's do it for the ancestors.
I'm trying to figure out how culturally exclusive it would be to play Wipe Me Down at the reception because we both really love that song. But
boozy badass.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could dance to Wipe Me Down in front of like
my mom,
your mom.
Will be asleep by 10. So,
great. So then we play.
So when it's just like when it's just us and like my Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Then it'll be perfect.
Then we'll play Wipe Me
yeah.
Down.
I'm
on. As soon as it starts to fade. That's what
shoulders,
it comes in.
Shoulders, chest.
Dance floor showing my ass.
Yeah. Yeah, we really love that song.